Monday, March 31st, 2025, Board of Commissioners meeting at 3:00 PM.
All right, 3:00, we'll go ahead and get our commissioner meeting started with Pledge Allegiance.
Pledge Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Go ahead and take roll call.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Present.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Here.
Public comment. Is there anybody who has anything they want to comment that's not on today's agenda? If you do, now would be the time to address it. All right, we'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from March 17th, 2025. Approval of payroll claims from March 16th through March 29th. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims and approval of accounts payable claims. I came in earlier, went through payroll. There were a few accounts payable. We got those taken care of. Everything seems to be in order.
I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through D.
I'll say it.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. All right, looks like it's 3:02. We're going to have a public hearing for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to offer support, opposition, or make neutral comments regarding the addition of solar energy, solar farm overlay district regulations, section 60-7 agriculture district of Dakota County zoning ordinance. So we'll start off. Is there anybody who would like to speak in favor of the solar farm? Just step up and state your name.
Ethan Frazier, the permitting manager for Mission Clean Energy. Like you stated, I'm here to speak in favor of the ordinances that are proposed with two caveats to that. For a bit more context, our group, Mission Clean Energy, and myself specifically have been attending the Planning and Zoning Commission meetings since December of 2023. We've really been able to see the hard work that that group has done in both hearing feedback from all of the commissioners and the areas that they represent, as well as from us on the developer side and members of the public that did attend those meetings. As they have worked through and the ordinances we see in front of you today, we think they represent common sense, reasonable regulations and provisions to restrict utility scale solar development in certain ways, but to still allow for an opportunity for Dakota County to benefit from these projects. I did caveat my support previously. We have two recommendations to the ordinance that we would like to present. Neither changes the intent of the ordinance. However, we feel that both would make more sense to make the ordinance more clear and enforceable. The first is to explicitly include battery energy storage systems as part of solar energy facilities that would be approved. These systems are commonly co-located with projects to help solve for logical reasons why, when the sun is not shining, you would like to have that power and none of it's wasted. This is common from both other parts of the country, as well as the Nebraska Power Review Board has come out with some precedent as they view solar projects and battery energy storage systems that are co-located as one system. We believe that the county should view them similarly. The second recommended change we have is just basically for consistency and clarity's sake, is that currently in the development standards under subsection 4, there was a setback that applied to the site overlay district itself. We believe that that setback should not be held to the zoning district and should instead apply to the equipment itself, which is already allocated for in other parts of that regulation. So removing that essentially just means that the zoning district will remain on property lines, which is traditional, but also keep the 250-foot setback, it just won't have that issue where the zoning district might be bouncing off of those lines. With those two changes made, we're completely supportive of this ordinance, and we hope that all the commissioners view the ordinance similarly. Thank you.
All right, Joe, you step up here just a minute.
Sure.
So I think most of us all received phone call about these possible changes, and I had said that with all the work that the planning and zoning had done in the last year plus, I'd certainly be more comfortable if they had a chance to look at it and talk to his members and see what they feel. So I'm just kind of looking for the feedback that you got.
Yeah, I've talked to several of the members. None of them had any issues with the changes that Mission wanted to make. And in fact, they actually make more sense if you look at it. The first one covered all the essential items that the solar energy facility would have encompasses all that together. The second one was just kind of an oversight by the commission that we want the 250-foot setback away from non-participating residences, basically, not so much the boundary of the solar overlay district.
Okay.
So just keeping the boundary or the property lines for the district makes it easier for the assessor and everybody to keep track of.
So yourself and the people you talked to on the board didn't have an issue with any of those?
None of them had an issue. They were all supportive of the changes.
I'd like to thank you on behalf of Dakota County and your board, because I know you spent a lot of time on this over the last year plus.
It's been a long haul. And
it's an everything's an education.
We got the end kind of in sight. We'll just see how it works out the next month or so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work by the commission.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
all right, well, thank you guys very much.
You're welcome.
Anybody to speak against the project? Anybody here? Anybody with neutral comments with regard to the solar plan? All right, we'll go ahead and close the hearing. 307. Which would take us to the board to approve Resolution 25C-006, Dakota County Zoning Ordinance, addition to Section 60.07, Solar Energy Overlay District.
Can Mark, can this be approved in one, or do we have to have three?
I think I'm pretty sure just being approved in one can it, Cam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So move to approve.
I second.
Are those two changes in this then? Are they in this right now?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Three will second it.
Okay. Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for all your hard work, guys. Board to approve or not approve Resolution 25C-007, Grievance Board, a list of members for 2025 is set forth employee handbook approved January 22nd of 2024. People have got, each of the commissioners has gotten three names, I believe, and those are the people that make up the grievance board, and the list is in our packet. So
I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 25C-007.
I'll say.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
All right, next we have Brenda Sale, Nebraska Extension Office, presenting the quarterly report. How's Brenda today?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Oh, good catch.
Got it.
That's some short one. All right, I'll be quick because I know you guys got a lot of business too. Just a quick update on extension. Julie and Angela are currently working on a food waste loss grant, the USDA grant to reduce food loss and food waste in the school system. It's kind of a train-the-trainer program. They're working with high school students to teach the low-income youth on reducing food loss and waste. Julie's also teaching some diabetes and hypertension classes. You can see all their programs on there. I just wanted to come today and give a quick update on our annual Voices for Food report, which is on the second page. So we just finished our 10th year for Voices for Food. 127,467 pounds of produce that has went back into the food system for low-income families. On the right there, you can see some comments by our participants. One of our participants stopped a farmer that was delivering at the health center and said last year she was getting food out of a dumpster. And another participant said her numbers are better at the doctor because of her fresh food that she's getting. In 2024, we had 18,501 pounds of produce. And our volunteer engagement in this community is second to none in the whole state. We had 129 volunteers that did 1,757 hours of service. And if you look on the back page, you'll see that our pounds of produce and our volunteer numbers and our volunteer hours account for almost half of the entire state. So we've said that the last several years, we're just under half, but we do half the produce here in Dakota County. The other 12 counties do the other half. Same with our volunteers and our volunteer hours. And then the economic impact there, the produce that we put in the food system just last year was valued at over $36,000. And in the 10 years, $240,000. So lots of good work by Voices for Food and the volunteers and the people in this community. We're also going to be presenting at a national conference. The collaboration with SNAP-Ed, Voices for Food, with Sealand Community Health, and Heartland Counseling, how we integrate fresh produce consumption with medical facilities, how they're addressing medical issues and telling people to eat produce, but they don't have the ability to make that happen. And our program provides the fresh produce that helps them with their medical assessment. So Sealand Community Health and Heartland. And we also put a little free pantry system up at Heartland, so there's an outdoor place where people can pick up. That's more just pantry groceries, not fresh produce. So anyway, all the information about Voices for Food on the back. I'll be quick because I know you got a lot of actual great business to get
to. This is probably some of the most greatest business we're talking about today. So don't hurry yourself through it because these are very good.
It's very good because of the people in this community, because no other community engages like Dakota County. So hats off to Dakota County people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kim Hansen and Elizabeth Reyes with Dakota County Victims Assistance requesting board approval for Resolution 25C-008 authorizing the application for Victims of Crime Act grant under Dakota County Victims Assistance Program.
I don't have the application or submission paperwork yet. They're kind of on a hold. I did get an email from them a couple weeks ago regarding all of that due to the changes in the White House, things like that. There's some things going on.
There's a hold based on what?
Just things in the White House.
Oh, yeah.
The funding and
yeah,
stuff. So.
Yeah.
Right now their intention, and I don't know what the dollar amount is going to be because they haven't released that to us. We're assuming it's going to be the same as what we've gotten the last 2 years, which is $70,000 for the fiscal year. So I assume that's what they're going to give us. I'm waiting to hear back. As soon as I get it, I'll send it over to Cherie just so that way, and then we'll come and present it to so you guys know. So they're looking to push the announcement for the funding back to this coming fall, which normally we would have it by now and it would have already been submitted. And then, but they're going to extend us out until March 31st of 2026 with whatever dollar amount they're going to give us pretty soon. So as soon as I have it, I'll bring that. I sent Cherie something earlier today, a spreadsheet with some numbers on it. I don't know if you guys have it or not. Yeah. Yep. So that's just kind of something that I present to the LEC board just so that way it kind of keeps them, you know, in the know where we're at, things like that. These are all expenditures that are not covered by the grant, so then it gets split between city and county. Our fiscal year is a little bit different. We run July to June while Nancy calculates everything October to September. So there is a little lapse between two different grant years there, but she usually figures everything out, and then we go over the numbers and have the auditors look at it and make sure everything is accounted for and stuff like that. So she said if you guys have any questions, let her know. She'll come to the next meeting with me, or whatever. She doesn't have a problem doing that if you have extra questions for her. The only thing I didn't include was this quarter's postage amount. That's technically for our match that we get. We are actually on a waiver, but I still have to calculate it and keep track of it, things like that. The only other information that I have is so far, well, as of March 18th of this year, we have served 1,026 clients. 69 of them are Spanish-speaking. There's been 217 Spanish-speaking services provided to those 69 clients. We've had 87 in-person contacts, 1,345 contacts via phone, text, email, mail. And then we've sent out 1,585 court updates so far since July 1st. So
Marty, when we were at the LEC board meeting, I asked him what they use the money for.
Our match or the total?
No. It's for victim assistance. It helps.
Yes, it's for victims.
When someone is abused or whatever, that money is used to help them housing or whatever, food.
We do a plethora of things.
It's just so that you know what the grant, what the money goes for. It's kind of good to have that information.
Yeah, for sure. It's really good to have that.
So, both of these girls work on it. I think you got the night shift, right?
Yep. Yeah, she's a part-time bilingual advocate, which is super helpful. Mm-hmm. She does a lot of translation stuff, and which is, without a doubt, something that we need to have, for sure.
And they both do a wonderful job.
Okay.
Yeah, when you do get awarded, you come back, present
I'll present what the budget's going to look like and then how it'll offset.
Just a little bit of a breakdown of how the budget's used.
Yeah, and if you need me to, I can try and work with Nancy too on changing that spreadsheet a little bit. I base that off of my fiscal year, which obviously is July to June, so it's a little bit different than what hers would look like, but either way, the grant's paying what the portion
that's
is
pretty close to our hers. That's pretty close to our fiscal year.
If I have to change the spreadsheet, then I can, just to make it look according to whoever's fiscal year, if that's what you want to see. But I just base it off of what ours is, because that's what the Crime Commission tells us we have to do. So, any other questions?
Are you prepared for getting turned down and not getting a grant?
Am I prepared? That's up to everybody else. I don't call the shot.
No, but is there a strategic plan if that would happen to happen?
I don't know. We've brought this up for years and years and years, and there's never been like a confirming answer, I guess. Nobody really wants to figure out what the process is going to be. We're LEC employees, like dispatch, so the grant just helps out and pays some of the costs and expenses with it, so which is nice, obviously. Free money is always good money, but it's never guaranteed. So.
No. And free money costs everybody. I mean, no such thing as free money.
Yeah.
It's our money.
Somebody's
being the recycled
paying it, yes.
Way.
But to offset some of the extra expense, it's always handy to have it, but it's never a guarantee. And I have looked at other funding sources. We don't qualify for any of them because we're not a nonprofit, and we don't have, we're not, I guess, a tribal organization either. So, and I've had Pat Somsky with the city look. She can't find anything additional either, so we're just hoping that they'll figure out their stuff down there, and then it'll go back up, I'm hoping. But.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. And then if you guys sign that, I think Sheree usually just emails it to me. the resolution?
Yeah, I can email it to you.
Okay, I just have to have the permission to apply for it by the board, so. Thank you.
Yep.
We do need the motion for the board to approve signing that resolution or not.
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 25C-008, authorizing the application for the grant.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Board to recognize emergency declaration by chair as authorized under 81-829-50 on behalf of Dakota County and approve resolution 25C-009 disaster declaration due to blizzard and high winds in Dakota County on March 19, 2025, causing severe damage to power poles, disruption of utility service, and causing endangerment of health and safety to the citizens of Dakota County within the disaster area. The declaration also committed the expenditure of emergency funds, invoking mutual aid agreements, and applying for assistance from the Governor's Emergency Fund. So last week I was contacted that there was a need through the emergency manager for emergency declaration in Dakota County dealing with the blizzard and all the utility poles and stuff we had down. So we just need to do a resolution.
Make a motion to approve resolution 25C-009.
Second.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. A lot of linemen out there in some pretty bad weather working on that stuff. It was quite a deal. Didn't have to go very far to have it a lot worse, though, I guess. Stephanie Gatzmeyer, County Treasurer, presenting the tax sale report.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
All right. My little Miss Jaleesa and I had tax sale done on March 3rd. We had a total of 304 parcels that was advertised, and we advertised that for 3 weeks. During that time, 127 parcels were paid before the sale. The day of the sale, we had 129 parcels purchased, which left a total of 48 parcels that have not been purchased as of yet. The sale is now closed as of today. So we did excellent this year compared to the last few years.
Did you have a total of what was purchased?
Yes.
Dollar?
The total sold was $236,399.37.
Okay.
$236,399.37. I hate to tell you what's left because of one.
One particularly big one, huh?
Right. But only having 48 left out of 304 was excellent.
Good.
So.
Anybody got any questions with regard to that?
How big is the big one?
Well, the $2,041,587.66.
Against it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the base?
That's just the base.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So. Nobody wants it. I don't know why, but...
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Board to approve the Stormwater Annual Report for 2024, the interlocal agreement with the City of South Sioux City, Dakota City, and Dakota County Stormwater Plan for 2025. I've sat on that board for a while, and what it is it's every time there's an outfall where everything runs into the river, that they have that marked and monitored to make sure things don't run in the river that shouldn't. Dakota County doesn't have any outfalls, and we've kind of asked to be removed from this for a while, and we haven't been able to have that happen. But there is also a provision where during new construction of commercial areas that they're to watch for runoff, and I suppose that's probably why we continue to be in it. But they weren't in compliance a couple of years ago, so they are doing this report to get everybody back in compliance, and they had to have that done here, I believe, this week. So that's where we're at.
JEO is helping prepare these reports with Dakota City, City of South Sioux, and us. And, he was hoping to have that stuff done and ready to us by today, but he's running a little bit behind on getting some of the numbers together. So,
I'm sure he's been nice enough to do the paperwork part of that. He's asked to get off it a couple of times since we really don't have much of a bearing on that in the city, and the cities are kind of looking into maybe finding somebody to do that for them, so it's not taking up a bunch of her time for something that we really don't have much to do with. So. Turn it up.
Who's that gets filed with, Marty?
What's that?
Who's that?
Used to be the NRD in Nebraska.
The Nebraska Department of NDEE, what? Environmental.
Extracurricular. Mike must have brought your slab machine today.
Busy guy.
Board to acknowledge request to open negotiations with the three unions and will work on setting dates and times to meet with each. Sheriff's Deputies, Comprehensive Master Agreement, Fraternal Order of Police, Dakota County Lodge Number 49. The Correctional Officers, Comprehensive Master Agreement, Fraternal Order of Police, Dakota County Lodge Number 49. And Road Department, Comprehensive Master Agreement, Nebraska Public Employee Local 251. So we have received notifications from all three of them wanting to get the process started. So we will get together on our side and find dates in the not-too-distant future to get our initial meeting so we can get your guys' request off the bat, and then we'll work from there. As you know, it's a little bit murky right now because the legislature is not going to be done until into May or 1st of June, and part of what we're trying to do has to do with what they're going to decide. So, but we'll get it figured out as best we can.
Are we looking somewhere towards later for the middle part of June then, or?
It is, well, I think we need to at least get, we need to get together in the short term and at least get to find out where everybody's at, so when it is time and we know everything, we can try to get things put together in a little quicker manner. Okay. So I would say sometime in maybe within the next month, let's get together for the first time. We'll sit down with each of the three groups individually and just kind of talk it through a little bit, see where everybody's at, and
are you
going to
send out notifications?
We'll make sure we get a hold of you guys.
Okay, by yeah. Email then?
Yeah, if that's fine.
It's preferable for.
Yep. Is there any particular times or dates that don't work? You better in the afternoon, better in the evenings, better?
Not necessarily.
We'll send you a date, and if it doesn't work for you, we will go ahead and just work it out in the email to get time that works.
Okay, sounds good.
We're pretty flexible, so.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Board to discuss, review, and award bid for repairing the drainage issue, sunken concrete around the jail and courthouse in the back parking areas, causing continuous water coming into that area. I will let Rick take this one.
I got four bids and this is to lift the concrete. Thrasher came in at $1,544.84. And then Comstock Concrete Lifting, they came in at $48,82.30. And then I had to tear out and replace it from two different contractors. And Rogelio probably helped me out with this one
here. What is that? Cisneros.
Came in at $5,500, and that was to tear it all out and pour new concrete in. And then I got one from MG Construction, and theirs came in at $4,900. But with that thrasher at $1,500, I don't think we could probably go wrong if they can get the job fixed.
And they warranty it, it looks like. They have a good warranty.
They do, and Thrasher.
Do you have some history there?
No, I'm just curious how they are, like, so much cheaper. They probably just have better.
Yeah, that's what kind of blows me away, too. But I had them both look at it, and I had Comstock look at it. And Thrasher, he told me that they would raise it up and re-caulk everything. Mm-hmm. So unless he didn't measure right, or he was unaware of something, but this is 25 by 10 by 1. Mm-hmm. That would pretty much cover it at 80 pounds. And lift concrete to drain away from the building, from air units, plus drain. So
yeah,
it looks like he's got it quoted right.
Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer. I mean, that's a reputable firm, and they have a low bid.
Right, but have we got the money to do it?
That's the question. What's the maintenance budget looking like in the jail? Have you looked at that lately?
No, okay. No, I haven't.
Well, this would be this concrete, Marty.
Is okay, yeah, that's on the back of the courthouse.
On the back side of the courthouse, which is affecting the jail.
Yeah.
So,
I would if
we need to get it taken care of because it's probably going to cause some problems with the courthouse eventually, eroding the footing.
Yeah, and get a sinkhole or something like that.
Well, if the courthouse starts to drop, we're going to be a bigger drop.
No. Yeah, in Rodney's budget,
they would have to.
I would say that it would be that. Yeah, I would be comfortable saying that we could do that.
So, do we want to approve it?
I would say. I'd make a motion to, unless you want to make a motion.
To be, just so I'm clear.
Yeah.
This is just to raise it, right?
Yeah.
Other bids were to do, like,
rig it. Well, there were two of them to raise it, and two of them to review it. Comstock was also to raise it.
Okay.
Right. I was told by Thrasher and Comstock that when they pump the foam in there, that will fill the void.
Yeah.
If there's some dirt that's been eroded out from underneath of there, and it will also help keep that moisture from coming in there. But the scrubber coming off of the roof, the drain coming off of the roof, is draining directly in there and running back into the building.
And if they're going to seal it, along the building too, like the bid says, you know, I think we'll be in good shape. You know, it's definitely, I think it's a good,
good way to go. Yeah, I do too. Well, you go ahead and make a motion.
All right, I'll make a motion to have Thrasher take care of the problem we have back at the courthouse with the concrete settling by raising it.
Second.
What was
good
now again?
$1,544.84 for Thrasher.
All right, thank you.
All right, so Marty and Brian. Roll call, Brian.
Yes.
Rick.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Rogelio.
Yes.
Discussion regarding jail maintenance, repairs, and upkeep.
I met with Rod, or Todd, and we kind of went over some things at the jail. There's, and he's got a good handle on it. I think eventually he'll have it all under control and repaired. We took care of, we had some issues with the heating, and we talked that over, and we got that. I think we got that handled, but there are some water fountains and stuff throughout the jail that need to be worked so everybody gets water and can wash their hands and stuff like that. So, but I think we've got it pretty much handled. I don't know if he's got enough money in his budget to fix.
I haven't checked our budget.
To fix all the problems that are in there, but all the problems that are in there could cost us more money in the future if we don't get them.
General maintenance items. Yeah, we'll take a look at the budgets and go accordingly. But I mean, there's always money set aside for routine maintenance, and it sounds like most of these are routine maintenance things that need to be done.
They need to be handled so that the people that are in the jail are treated properly.
I think if I speak, I think a lot of it's just the age of the jail. So some of these things are original to the jail. So a cast pipe lasts a certain amount of time. Well, take that times 70 some odd cells and all those toilets, and so when they run to failure like that, you're going to have several run into failure like that. So I've been kind of keeping track of that and trying to keep ahead of it. Some of that is general maintenance. I think we're just going to, as I'm trying to get it all up to speed, we're going to see a little more of it now than once we get ahead of it. But the bigger stuff I've been trying to kind of focus on, like getting our HVAC unit stuff working, obviously getting getting approved by the fire marshal, all that type of stuff. Safety issues are important. But general maintenance, it's an older building, so.
Todd, if you had, if you just made yourself like a small spreadsheet that, just periodically you check those things just so they.
I do.
Okay.
I have it on it.
Yeah.
Every tailpipe I've changed out.
But I mean, for even things that you haven't changed out yet, just things that, could or should be looked at.
Sure.
You have a 50-year-old house, it sees so much, but you have a 50-year-old jail where you have 100 people living in it. That's a little different story.
I do have that. I have I come from a maintenance reliability background, so I do have that prioritized, and I have a list of it.
How do you think would the best way to go forward then, Rick? How would you like to see that?
Well, we'd have to ask Todd to show us his budget, see what he's got left in there for money. But we do need to get all the toilets and all the hand wash sinks and stuff like that up to snuff so that people can get and hot water into all of them. Okay. So we just gotta see what it's gonna cost us and what we got in his budget to cover it.
Okay.
So.
Before the next meeting, we'll look and see what kind of money we have
Todd,
left in this year's budget.
Just to say, Todd has really got a handle. I've worked with him. I have worked with him. He's really got a handle on what's going on over there.
And he's got the right background for it.
Things are going to turn around.
Oh, for sure.
So.
All right. Board to make appointment for road foreman position. Oh, we didn't get it. Okay, the board to review.
Unless Jolene has some.
Did you get anything on the M Avenue?
He didn't get the paperwork sent, but we discussed it, and Cooney would do the change from 28 foot to 30 foot with no charge. He said it would kind of be a wash. The gravel embedment was going to be $1 a square yard. They figured it would be under 50,000. It would be a measured quantity, so it could be. He thought 50,000 sounded like that was probably would be the very high end, but they were pretty sure they could keep that under 50,000 to do the gravel embedment. So it would just be up to you guys if you.
That would be a change order then.
That would be a change order. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would have that money in the federal aid road budget that we could take that out of.
Would you be comfortable doing that and still?
I would. I mean, it's just going to firm that road up.
A lot faster.
It is a lot faster. I would make a motion to approve.
Yeah, if we get that 2 foot wider for some more money. It's a win-win because there'll be less material for him to move.
It's going to make a lot of people happy out there.
Okay.
And he's weather pending, was wanting to start this week. Might get pushed back a little bit. So we sent out letters to all the landowners and people in the area. They're going to do a soft closure, just let local traffic through. I sent letters out to everybody in the area who I thought might be filtering in on that road to avoid that area as much as possible while they're out there working. So.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, so roll call, Rick.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
board to make appointment to the road foreman position. We had application process that was open for a couple of weeks, and we did some interviews, and we opened it back up, and we didn't get any additional interest. And from our first interviews, Dean Palace, who is a current county road member, worker, employee, longtime employee, was the person that I felt like in the interviews would be able to do the job. So I guess I would make that recommendation at this point. What do you think, Brian? You were
absolutely.
Yeah. So I would make a motion to make Dean Palace the new county road foreman.
I'll second it.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Brian and Jeff are at some point are going to give him a holler here later on and let him know, and you can certainly let him know if you see him before that, Jolene, and hopefully we'll get everything going in the right direction. So you got some new hires through our deal today, so it sounds like there's a weed guy that is looking to come on, so do we, we can talk later and won't worry. I just start talking, I can't stop. Okay, Jolene, highway superintendent request board to review and approve gravel pricing bid from a new supplier.
Yeah, so we were able to find another pit up in Haywarden. It's Boyer Sand and Rock. We've gotten a few loads of material, sampled it. The guys really like it, said it's been working great on the roads.
Good.
He did give us a quote as well as to deliver if we needed. I still haven't kind of penciled that out
yet. That $14 is just for the delivery per ton, and then the price, the material above that, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and I want to say, for the road gravel from some of the other suppliers was around 2022. Didn't grab that. We could pencil out and see. I mean, sometimes it would be pretty nice if they could bring some into us. Well, mm-hmm. I did get a lot of calls today for gravel.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we could be putting it on the road and have help bringing it in. Because it is 55 miles away, you know, a little over an hour just to get up there. Not ideal, but as I said before, we're kind of running out of places to get.
So they're about 55, and then I suppose Pierce would be right in that same ballpark.
Yeah, they're about 48, 50, something like that. So, I mean, we just keep getting pushed a little further out.
Yeah.
But if we can get our place in there and they're willing to do business with us, because there's some that are a little closer, but they're mm-hmm. afraid they're going to run out of product, and they're wanting to give the business to the counties that they've been doing business with. So that kind of maybe will give us a step up if those other pits close and we've already established a business with them.
And it might be a type of deal either, even if we're doing roads on the west end of the county. I mean, you're 20 miles closer to Hardington, and if you're on the east end of the county, you're quite a bit closer to Hayward. So.
Right, yep. So, and Hardington is not going to give us a bid this year.
Okay.
They're just going to be making dairy sand. So. Okay. But Pierce is still giving them.
Okay.
Yep.
These are good prices.
Yeah, they are. Very good prices. Yeah. And the guys really like the product, so that was nice. That was a bonus.
So then we should make a motion to accept that bid like we did the others previously.
And I printed off the notice of award, but evidently it's still in my copy or laying on my desk, so I'll get that to Cherie to assign it to.
Yeah.
I think I have.
Or did I give it to you already?
Oh, okay. I checked. No. You guys have
all right.
Stuff.
Let me know.
Make a motion to approve this
road bid, gravel bid.
Gravel bid from.
I do have it.
Boyer Sand and Rock.
I'll say it.
These bids here are actually cheaper than crushed concrete.
Oh yeah, delivered.
I mean, I saw they were buckets. There were samples when we were there, on these last couple days, and it looked good.
Yeah. All right. Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Next.
All
business and miscellaneous. Jolene, highway report.
We had 152.5 hours grading roads, 39 hours of overtime, 13 hours tree removal, 15 hours installing culvert out on 110th Street, 112 hours on snow removal, 2 hours pulling the magnet, 107 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 99.85 tons of the 1-inch rock out on the road, as well as 790 tons of gravel on the road. We hauled 241.58 tons of 1-inch rock into the yard. We had 9 hours on sign repair and then several requests for grading. Any questions? We did, as Marty said, we got 4 new people hired. 3 have already started. The other one later this week, early next week. So it's kind of nice to have a full house for a change.
Very good.
Are you going to try to get the trainers back up that we had? Were they NIRMA trainers that came up?
Some were with NIRMA. The other gentleman was recommended by NIRMA. That was Jackson Motor Grader Training or Heavy Equipment Training or something like that. He likes to have at least 10 people to train. So is what he would do is kind of give some entry-level stuff and then take some of the guys who've already been through that and do more of the pulling up shoulders, cleaning ditches, and stuff like that. So we'll see if we can get him scheduled.
Dean's going to be busy with a bunch of new guys, so always, I think they did a good job.
Good for guys, I think. So.
I think so, too. I was really impressed with the applicants that we had.
That's what both Brian and Jeff said, that the applicants looked
they were great. And the weed and sign guy, he's jumped right in it, and he spent a couple days upstairs organizing everything so he could get a good run on it. Today he's out checking through what he has, what he needs, and he's really excited about it, so that's good.
Good. I know that last week I had made a call on Elma on some soft spots and stuff, and boy, they were right out there. The gravel that they used out there really seemed to bind up good. And then I saw them just down from my place today that somebody was nice enough to drop a great big overstuffed couch in the middle of the county road. So they were out picking that up today and after a day of rain. So
we have one at the fairgrounds too.
They said it was pretty heavy.
Yeah, but that's,
I'd like to bring something up. Talking about trash in the roads now, I've been picking up a lot of tires, and I know Jolene, I've called her several times too, but it seems like Elgin Avenue and Gulf Road have become a dump. And I was wondering if we could somehow get a camera system. Don't have to be real expensive. And put cameras, like the fog cameras that are on the streets.
Yeah, I don't know.
And do periodically move them. Let everybody know that there's cameras out there. And maybe that'll stop some of that trash dumping if they know that there's a camera out there that'll record them when they're dumping it. Because, I'll bet you I haul a semi-load of car tires to these guys every year. And I picked them up and had them in the corn head.
Yeah.
And it's Gulf Road and Elgin Avenue and then 260th.
You guys had a mattress out there today, didn't you?
I just got a call about L Avenue up north by the river. People are dumping
they're dumping
there
up
too.
Yeah. It's so I think if we could get, I don't know, some kind of a portable system that we could maybe put 20 feet up on a pole.
I just don't know if you had any suggestions.
Nice to have you here reference our garbage issue.
I didn't know if you knew if there was a system out there that somebody could use.
Would pick it up, but yeah, I'm thinking about going to a class where we can pole cam coming up here where we can move it around.
We need something because it's to the point where,
we have some cameras, some cellular cameras we can put up, and it's just, it depends. I mean, it might catch them, it might not. I mean, cameras are, just like trail cameras. You can get great pictures and you can get a lot of pictures of the wind blowing, but I mean.
Yeah.
Maybe
but
some.
If we have them in those areas where.
Oh, trust me, if I catch somebody, they're going to jail right after I make it clean it up. I've said that for years. I'd love to catch somebody in that. They dump stuff off by my house.
Standard garbage is pretty easy because you're going to find an address label or something, but when it's just general junk like that, maybe even some signs that said no dumping, video surveillance, and you put those out there, maybe see if that works for a while,
I'm open to anything because
we can make any type of sign.
We just had our Nottoway Road Association thing the other day, and that was what I think they were going to call that.
They did.
Call we have a lot of trash out on the campgrounds.
We could add no dumping, total enforced, or
something like that, and at least try that in some of our high volume areas in the beginning.
These trail cameras, we can put them up anywhere. I mean, it's just get them high enough that nobody else is going to take them.
That's just what I was saying. They got to be
county, so.
They got to be 20 foot off of the ground at least.
And that's our issue with putting them. I mean, usually the deputies get on the back of the pickup and set them up, and we're going to set them up places, but.
And if you just put them on a pole, somebody's going to cut your pole down, take your pole and your camera.
Well, we usually put them on a telephone pole or something, but you don't want deputies in the back of the truck.
No.
Climbing
gear with their spikes on.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't know I suppose the room get with the road department and put them up if they probably have the equipment.
Well, they got a loader they can raise themselves up with. With a harness. I don't want them to go out there and get in the bucket without something on.
Yeah.
But anyway, we need to do something because, and it used to be somebody would throw a car tire out and it had a rim in it. But these are tires that are rimless. So they come from either a filling station or somebody that's got a sideline tire business. And they're taking them off, and that's how they're getting rimmed. And they're getting paid $2 a tire for disposal. So we need to kind of put an end to it.
Well, I'll reach out to you later this week and see if we can come up with something. We'll just start with some signs.
In the interim, come up with, maybe 3 or 4 signs, put them out along Gulf Road and which other intersection out there, Elgin? Maybe if we put
Gulf
some out
Road,
there.
Gulf Road, Elgin, 164th.
Probably should throw a couple bait tires out there. Cause it seems like once the pile
I know.
Then that's when it grows.
I know. People see them out there and go, well, that's where we do it.
That's how it works.
No baiting in Nebraska.
I hate to see that call when somebody says the road department's throwing tires in the ditch.
One other thing I think we need to check into is to find out what the fine is, and if it's like $200 for throwing in a ditch, it needs to go to $1,000 or $1,200.
I think it's up to $1,000. It's class 3 misdemeanor. It's
not. So it needs to go higher, so it hurts.
It's
$1,000
minimum.
I'm not sure. It's 500.
I think it's 500.
It's 500. If it's 500, it needs to go higher.
That's state.
We can't control that.
Yeah.
We can't control that. State has
county
to control
that.
I guess we can make that. That's a state statute. So can we tack on?
Restitution.
Per tire.
Hello, Mr. Meyer.
I guess we need to go and talk to our senator down in.
Okay, well, we'll start with getting some signs, and I'll reach out to you later this week. And
make sure I sign them all.
We'll get some in motion.
Cool. Thank you.
All right.
I missed it. Commissioner committee reports. Anybody have any committee reports since our last meeting?
I met with the area on aging.
General report.
Yeah, I'm virtually because I had a bunch of meetings that day. Seems like a good group of people consistently going, learning a lot about retirement homes and all the issues, and it's interesting.
Yeah,
a lot of funding. It was a short one.
Then there's a lot of people that need assistance. Yeah. A lot of elderly people who need money.
Similar to what they were talking about earlier, some of those grants that normally come in are being stalled, and so they're kind of have to tap into some other resources, but it sounds like they have a pretty good control of most of it.
Very good. Brian, anything this last couple?
I have nothing.
Rick?
Yes.
Did you have any meetings this last week?
2 weeks? LEC. Boom. And they're having problems with hiring and retaining dispatchers and such. And they're proposing a raise hike for that. And starting pay at $24 an hour. Dispatcher pay after 1 year going to 26. Records payroll pay $27 an hour. And bilingual, they're talking 50 cents on that part too. And longevity pay too also. So we've got that coming. That's going to be a budget thing. So,
and that's something that has to be approved by their board, right? So,
yes. Yep. And then it will go to the city of South Sioux, and then we split it.
Yeah, the total.
But they give it to Nancy, and Nancy sends us our portion, but we've got to be able to absorb that in our budget. Not only we got it.
No.
But I feel that people that are in there do need a raise. I guess we just got to visit with them about it. We're dealing with the three unions, and whatever those three unions, they're going to want to be in this range. And I don't know.
Well, yeah, and the city can't just go ahead and approve that without us approving it.
No.
Can they? So they can't just approve it and put it back on us.
They can approve it on their end. We got to approve it on our end. Mm-hmm. So, no, they can't. But I think that's probably happened in the past.
The LEC board would have to approve it first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it would go to the city. And then we left it at, start working in your next year's budget.
Budget, yeah.
Yeah.
But we couldn't do it. And I suggested to a shift differential. For the nights and everything, because right now it's getting paid the same no matter what shift they're working.
Exactly. Yeah. That's cool. But that was just information for you guys.
Yeah, for sure, good information.
Go from there.
Do you have anything on commissioner committee reports?
No.
Okay. Mail or emergency business?
I think I gave you guys a copy of just a letter. That they're going to start working
$50.
On $110.
Huh?
$50.
Yeah, this
report. I know you want it.
Brian, did you have something?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Did Riley beat me?
I'm already out the door.
He's gone.
I got a place to be.
All right, man. Coach him up. Don't.